So if I asked you to think back over your lifetime and think of a time period where your stress level was just through the roof, I imagine most of you could think of a time like that. Might even be now for you, I don't know. One of these times where you get up each morning and you just make yourself plow through the task list for the day, and then again the next day and the next day, pushing until you finally get through whatever it is you're dealing with. So to some extent, the last 5 weeks have been that for me and Anna. Started, of course, with the Ken Davis event, which was both very exciting and also very stressful, and a lot of hours put in that week, and really the weeks leading up to it. There were a couple of days after that event to recover, but almost immediately I moved into board meetings and Good Friday service planning and Easter Sunday, which, as most of you know, included influenza B for my wife. So there I am on the day before Easter and taking my wife to the ER and carting my kids around, and my Easter sermon prep, I can tell you, didn't really get into full gear until after everyone in my household had gone to sleep that night. I won't tell you when my Easter sermon prep ended that evening or morning. And then the week after Easter for me was planning and going to District Blitz with the youth group, which got complicated because, of course, my wife was not better yet, and now my kids were sick, and so I was needed both at home and at work and bouncing between things and going crazy. And then finally this week, annual meeting prep week, and my wife's grandfather passes, and so we've spent the last 3 days in Duluth with the extended family remembering and celebrating our beloved Denny Juntinen, and we did have a great family time there. But I'll tell you, I'm exhausted. That's five stressful weeks in a row. We're exhausted, and a lot of short nights of sleep in that stretch of weeks, including one last night. Before I go any further, I do want to say a big thanks to so many of you who helped make those weeks even possible for us. First of all, to my wife, who's not going to hear it, is she? Yeah, I'll tell her later. But she did pull some hours in there of watching kids when she really should have been in bed. You know, it's like that. Have you seen that commercial on TV where the woman goes to her 4-year-old who's in the middle of dressing up and says, "Sorry, hon, I need to take a sick day today." The little girl just stares at her. So can't really do that with kids, can you? So, no. So big thanks to Anna and many of you who helped watch our girls or offered meals, and that was awesome. And then a huge, I think a lot of you know Heather and Sam Montaigne, even though they're not members here. They've been here frequently, and we've gotten to know them. So they offered to watch the girls on Easter Sunday morning. I was not going to ask, but Anna was so sick, and the girls weren't sick yet, but we were afraid of bringing them to the nursery, you know, to spread their potential germs. And so then Heather Montaigne says, "You know what, we'll watch your girls, and some of us will stay home from Easter Sunday morning." And we said, "Unbelievable." And they paid the price for it, too. Heather and one of her girls did get sick, quite sick, the next week. So when you see them, say thanks to them, because they were self-sacrificing so we could have Easter the way we had planned it. I think Ann and I are still second-guessing whether we did the right thing there or not. But and now Paul tells me Roxy, who also watched the girls during that time, says she's been hit by a Mack truck yesterday. So that is just a... Anyway, we're thankful to all of you, and you guys are so wonderful to us. I'm going to take some days this week to recover. I'll be back in the office on Friday, ready to write a sermon, but I'm going to take the days off before that. And, yeah. Thank you, Dee. Thank you for providing that. Hey, you've all been there. I know you've all been there. Those times of high stress in your life, it's not too unusual. But I am greatly looking forward, praying for some normalcy this week. Right. So, all that is to say, I had told you that this morning I was going to begin a new sermon series on a book of the Bible, and that just wasn't practical for me since we had to spend half the week in Duluth, more than half the week. And so, that sermon series is going to start for you next Sunday. What I am going to do for you now is kind of out of necessity. On this day of our annual meeting, I'm going to give you here a somewhat lengthened pastor's report, and then I'm not going to do one in the annual meeting today. I know that a number of you are interested in going to the Holty event, and so, you know, in thinking of ways that we could shorten the annual meeting, this came to mind. doing my pastor report here. So I wonder if you would allow me to please share some thoughts with you here in this service now as we pause to reflect today on where we have been as a church this last year, where we're going, things that are on my mind as we think towards the future. My apologies if you are not a typical part of our church family, although I think there will still be some value for you in this. You should get a good sense of who we are at Calvary and what we stand for, and of course you're always welcome to be part of things here. Maybe this will be a good step in that process of you getting to know our church. Or maybe you have another home church and you're just visiting with us today. You know what? Some of these comments are going to apply to your home church setting as well. I'm quite confident of that. And I'm just glad that you're here with us. All right. So we collectively took a church survey just a couple of weeks ago for the first time in my four-year tenure at Calvary. The results of that questionnaire that you filled out will be handed out to you during the annual meeting later. And I'd like to start my pastor report sermon now with a few reflections on some of those questionnaire results. Overall, I'll tell you, I was quite encouraged by the results. We asked you to respond to various questions with a number system. So if you put down 5, it meant we were doing excellent in that area. If you put down 4, that meant good. 3 meant average. 2 meant needs attention. And 1 meant needs immediate attention. So we did not have a single question on this church questionnaire where the average score came back as ranking below the mark of average, the number 3. All right, so the average score, in fact, for most of the questions fell in between the good mark, 4, and the excellent mark of 5. So that was all very encouraging. I'm so glad that most of you, anyway, feel that way about our ministry efforts here at Calvary. So why would we look at average score or the typical score? You know, any church, you do any church, a survey at any church, and there's going to be some people that maybe have a different opinion than the majority, all right? There's always going to be that. And so really what is most interesting to me anyway is, you know, where are most of you feeling we are at? You know, what kind of patterns or trends can you see in the comments? We certainly will read and consider each comment and you know, pray over those things and put value on those. But really, the most important are the things that are repeated. So I've looked at average score. I've looked at where 75% of you were ranking us, that kind of thing. And when you look at the survey in that way, the results are very encouraging. So the reasons to do a survey like this are, one, to get a temperature check like that, to see the general feeling of the whole congregation on these things. And then, two, we also do this just to see how we can improve, correct? That was a main motivation. So a good deal of attention will be focused now moving forward on what came in as our lowest scores in the various sections of the survey. We're glad for the areas that scored very high. We're certainly glad that the overall scores were pretty good, but we still want to spend some special attention on what represented the lowest of the scores in the questionnaire. I want to take you through just some of those lower scored items now, and of course you're going to get the whole survey later and you'll see all the results. You'll be wanting to take them home with you because it's a lot of information. You won't be able to chew through it all in our little meeting here after lunch. Hey, how about we start about the questions about the pastor? I'm okay with that. Let's just start with questions about the pastor. So, okay, the two questions that I got lowest scores on, this is not from the written comments now, this is the scored questions. Two questions I got the lowest scores on were length of sermon, the average score there was 4.31, and then the statement, the sermons provide answers for the problems I face in life, average score 4.17. Obviously not bad scores, but I still want to pay attention to the fact that that you ranked me slightly lower in those areas than in other areas. So, okay, yeah, length of sermon, I get it. Yeah, I know, I have a tendency to be a bit wordy at times. In fact, I'm a little concerned about this one right here. We'll see how we do. But, you know what, this is something that was already on my radar, and I totally understand that. I think that we are doing, overall, we're doing much better at getting out of here on noon, other than maybe about 5 weeks ago where we went way over. But overall, I think we're doing better on timeliness. But I get that feedback. Thank you for that. Okay, and then the other one. Sermons provide answers for the problems I face in life. I've got an idea on that one as I was looking at that. You know that I like to balance topical sermons and then sermons where we're just going chapter by chapter through a book of the Bible, and we're about to do that second thing starting next week. But when it comes time for topical sermons again, I think what I'd like to do is pass out a form where you can fill out, you know, what are the problems that you're facing in life that you would like to hear a sermon on, and that could lead to some interesting sermons. I would love to dig into that with you and see what Scripture has to say about some of those life topics. I was thinking we could also use that same sheet of paper. You could write down, you know, questions you've had about the Bible or about Christianity. It wouldn't have to necessarily be life topics. Could open the doors to some interesting sermons that you have interest in hearing. So that's one idea, anyway, coming out of that response, where maybe we can help our time here on Sunday mornings to be even more effective in helping you apply Scriptures to your daily life. Next section in the church survey was on the church board. When you get that survey later today and you first look at the results, it's going to appear to you as if the church board kind of got low marks. But again, I want to point out that nothing in our survey came in where the average scores were below that 3, that category of average. So that means that overall you ranked the performance of the church board. Typically, the answers were in the range of average to good. I see nothing wrong with that. That's just fine with that scoring. A couple of you wrote in the comments sections the church board topic. What really has been my takeaway from that section of the survey, you wrote something to the effect of, it's kind of hard to score the church board when we don't really know what they do. It was kind of that idea. And this was my main takeaway. I think we need to just do a better job of communicating to you who is on the board, what we do, what's going on in our meetings. Now, you don't want us to tell you everything that's going on in our meetings. You'll be bored to death after a while. And then, of course, there are some things that we just can't tell you if it's a sensitive situation that we're dealing with. But I think that we can do a better job overall of communicating so that you know what's going on. You might find it easier to do a church survey on the church board next time around. We'll take some steps this next year to address that. And then I would like to give you a review of your church board from someone who does know who's on the church board and what they do and so forth, and that would be me, okay? I am at nearly every church board meeting in the last 4 years, and I can tell you, Calvary, that your church board is absolutely fantastic and has been the whole time I've been here. I've loved working with this group of people that kind of changes a little bit over time. Do we do everything perfectly? No, of course we don't. But I just can't imagine doing church board work with a more qualified, more dedicated, more sincere, more well-intentioned group of people, group of Christ followers than what we have here at this church. And we do need to remember that all these people are volunteers, right? I'm the only one getting paid for sitting through hours and hours of meetings and doing our best to pray through and make judgment calls on what often can be very difficult situations. So I hope that you have that perspective and that as we try to do a better job of communicating to you what we do, that you might grow in your trust of the people that are serving you on the board and their hearts and intentions. Bring your thoughts and concerns to us, any board member. We'd be happy to bring that stuff to our meetings and consider those things and respond to you appropriately. So, yeah, love the church board. Good people, they do good work. They love the Lord. That's your church board. All right, let's move on. Let's look at a few of the other scores from the survey that came in between the average and the good marks. So these would be some of the lower scores, I guess. Here's one. Our church has a good process for integrating new attenders. Average score was 3.63. Again, in between average and good. That's not necessarily bad to be in between average and good. A little closer to the good, right? Our church is involved in the community, came in at 3.65. We're doing all we reasonably can to evangelize our community, so that, of course, means to share the good news of Jesus with those who still need to hear it. That came in at 3.74. We have a healthy church, came in at 3.94. We're a church that is fulfilling the Great Commission of reaching and discipling people for Christ, came in at 3.97. So all of those scores coming in above average in how you ranked us, but still among the lower scores in the overall survey. I want to share with you an idea I brought up at the church board meeting last time in regards to a next step coming out of this survey. And it's an idea I'm feeling more and more convicted about. We're going to do this, all right? So the idea is to have the church board go on a short Friday-Saturday retreat sometime soon. I'm going to invite the new board, as is voted upon today, and then also the members of the board who are going off the board right now, but who went to a conference about a month ago that many of us went to in Litchfield that was on rural church ministry. We heard a lot of good ideas there, and we still have yet to have time to digest that stuff and discuss it. So what I want to do is have the extended church board there go on this little retreat, and we're going to take all of the content from that conference, and we're going to take all of the data from this church survey, and we're going to pray and think and discuss, and then we're going to go to bed. We're going to get up and have some coffee, and we're going to pray and think and discuss and go over this stuff. And the goal is to come up with a new vision going forward here for Calvary based on all of these things. And so when we get close to whenever we're going to do that, I want to let you know that that retreat's going to happen. And so you, if you have other things that you want to make sure get discussed that weekend, let us know. Talk to a board member, and we'll throw that in the mix. And then we'll come back and tell you what the Lord has led us to. So hopefully some exciting steps for us here in the future. Okay, just a couple interesting things that came out of the church survey. Not talking now about lower scores, but just in general. I have to say I was a bit surprised that by far most of you believe that the number of church activities we run here at Calvary is just right, and that we are not running so many activities that you cannot be involved in community things, so most of you said. I was kind of expecting to see that I am overscheduling you all. So I was glad that what we're doing with the calendar has been okay, and that was good confirmation. Most of you also thought that the number of fundraisers we do is good, the number of emails. There's another one I thought I was going to see, too many emails. But you all said you liked it, so we're just going to keep on going with what we're doing. And this is all good feedback. It's helpful for me. So thank you for that. Of course, there's a lot of interesting comments in the written sections, and you're going to see all of that. Every single thing will get prayed over and considered. Thank you for taking the time to fill these surveys out. Okay, before I leave the topic of the church questionnaire, I need to show you something that I think will make you smile a bit, all right? And if you're not on the church board, take a look at this stuff with me now, and then ask yourself if you ever do want to be on the church board. Okay, I'm not trying to discourage that, but I do want you to have a realistic idea, though, of what people on the church board face, what pastors face in all kinds of churches. Let's take a look at some of these comments that you all gave to us in the written comments sections of the survey. All right, back to the topic of my sermons. One person wrote, I like that the pastor takes time to do visuals and videos. Another person said, I'd like more videos. And then the next person wrote, I'd like to see less videos. All right, so there's that. Remember the impression from the earlier scoring sessions that maybe some of you thought my sermons were maybe a bit too long. Well, here's a comment from someone about my sermons. They could be longer when needed. Aha! I heard it. Somebody said it, and I heard it. thank you, my wife. Thank you. All right. All right. So then here are a couple of comments that tie in with that somewhat lower score I received about life application in my sermons. I would like to see more suggestions for ways people might apply the teaching from the sermon to their daily lives. And someone else wrote, could use more life application. And then we discover this comment later on. I like that there are always ideas as to life application of the principles taught in the sermons. I appreciate that the sermons always tie into daily life. That just makes me smile. I just, you know. Isn't life interesting? All of our different perspectives. A few of you suggested that I ought to do more visitation of people during my work week. And then someone this week told me earlier said to me that I do more visitation than any previous pastor at Calvary. So, you know, these are the kinds of things that are going on here. And by the way, I will give you my own self-review that I do at the end of each year. And I agree with those of you who think I need to do more visitation. I see the need there quite plainly. My heart is there. My intention is there. I have not been able to get my schedule to fit that goal yet, but I'm going to continue working at it. A couple more things like this. Here's a comment from the survey. I love the feeling during worship that I am in the throne room of God. I would like it to be louder. And then another person wrote, the music is way too loud. And you're going to see a lot of variety about music when you read through that. Someone said this about the Bible studies that we do here at Calvary. I like when we study the Bible, not books written by man. And then another person wrote, I'd like to do more studies that take homework, like those written by Beth Moore, etc. So I guess maybe we like them written by women and not man. Okay, all right. Maybe that's what that meant. I don't know. All right, last one. Someone wrote, I would like more movie nights, game nights, campfires. Another person said they'd like to see more fun nights on Fridays. Another person said more game nights. And then another person said they would like to see less entertainment at Calvary. All right, so you see, we're just all over the map, aren't we, on some of these things. So do you want to be on the church board now after reading these comments? This is what happens when you volunteer to be in leadership at a church or when you sign on to be a pastor. You get to navigate everybody's opinions because we all have opinions. Sometimes they're contradictory. Church leadership can be difficult. It can. So please have mercy on us. And then even when the opinions are not contradictory, they are just extremely plentiful, which you'll see later today. Everybody has an idea of what they would do different, right? That's okay. Many of the ideas and opinions are felt very strongly. Sometimes they're expressed very strongly. So yeah, I think you can start to see why I'm looking at patterns and what the majority says, because it's almost impossible to do anything otherwise. It's all over the place. Now, church work is really no different than any other human enterprise where you're organizing a bunch of human beings, right? Let's look at politics. You think there's a few opinions involved in politics about how things should be done? And you know what? It's not any different in the business world. The only difference there is that people are scared of losing their paychecks, right? So they have the opinions, but maybe they just don't say them as freely as you do at church. Nobody here can be fired. So as a result of this truth just about human organizations and the fact that we all have opinions, sometimes church work can get pretty discouraging. I'll be honest with you on that. Sometimes the differing opinions about how things ought to be done leads people to be quite emotional. Sometimes people get hurt over these things. You know what I got when I signed on to be your pastor? For the most part, I inherited a group of people who have been absolutely wonderful to me and my wife, and they love the Lord and take care of each other. But there's the other side to this as well, and this, once again, is going to be true in any church. Unfortunately, pastors inherit a group of people who all get to form their own opinion about my spiritual life. Everybody gets to think about that and have their own opinion about how I spend my time at work, about who I visit and who I don't, about how I preach and what I preach about. Some of those opinions are not very nice. A good number of the not-so-nice ones get expressed to me. And you know what? That's okay. I knew that would be true when I signed up for the job. I can take it. I can take it. But I'll tell you something else about that. Even though I was prepared for it, I knew it would come. Sometimes living in that situation really stinks. And it's a similar thing for those of you who sign up to be in leadership and to volunteer to serve your church on the church board. As soon as you get yourself into a leadership position, you become subject to scrutiny and opinion. And sometimes that stinks. Church leadership can be tough. There are times of discouragement that come when doing church work. You know, I really believe that the Ken Davis event was a great thing for our community, for our relationships with the people in our community, We got to talk. My goodness, we got to talk about Jesus openly in front of 833 people that night. And right? Praise the Lord. Got to highlight who we are as a church, some of what we stand for. But you know what? The fact that we did all that work and we didn't have one single visitor show up here on a Sunday morning and four Sundays after the Ken Davis thing, that really stinks. We didn't have one person come to the prayer room that night. I read through over 1,000 cards that were put into our two drawings that we did that night. Literally over 1,000 cards I looked at. One of the nights I stayed up till 3 a.m. And two of them had something marked on there about church or about God. Both of the people said they'd like to know more about Calvary Baptist. I called both of them, left messages, haven't had a return call from either of them. Okay? This bums me out. Now, I do think that we have seen evidence that God was at work, though. You know, the fact that we prayed so hard for 800 people to show up and we got 833. The fact that our substantial expenses for this event have been almost perfectly matched by the income we received, which you'll see later in the annual meeting. These are indications that God was listening to our prayers. But man, I wanted to see more immediate fruit. I was all geared up for it and just bummed that it didn't happen. But that doesn't mean that God's not doing things, right? So anyway, there are some hard days in ministry. The fact that we are 30% lower in attendance than when I came 4 years ago, every once in a while that bums me out. Although I do believe that we have grown in ways not measurable by numbers. So my point here is that sometimes church work can be tough and discouraging. It's true. But do you know what, though? There is no place I would rather be. Well, looks like we're in trouble the rest of the way here. Okay. There's no project I would rather spend my time and my energy on. Here's why. Despite all of the flaws in the church that come from the simple fact that the church is made up by all of us flawed human beings, I believe the church is still the greatest single hope for the human race. True, of course, because the church points people to Jesus Christ, the merciful Son of God who offers salvation from destruction and healing for our souls. And to the extent that the members of any particular church congregation are truly studying God's word and seeking to apply the principles taught there into their lives, God's goodness and love and grace and truth will overflow from out of that church body into the world around them. The Church of Jesus Christ is the light of the world and the salt of the earth. We've been given the vital and humbling task of being His hands and feet in this place. And you know what? Sometimes we really blow it. We really do. But sometimes, Calvary, sometimes we get it right. You want to know what has happened in and through Calvary Baptist Church of Madison in this past year since last May 1st, our last annual meeting, which actually I guess was sometime in April? I'll tell you what's happened. Last spring, I got to stand in front of a gym full of La Caparle graduating seniors and their family members at Baccalaureate, and I got to lift up the name of Jesus before them, encouraging them to make Him the highest priority in their lives. Last fall, we had the opportunity to all join together as Tate Collum and Natalie Whitty each took a rope and intertwined them along with a third rope that represented God, symbolic of their commitment to make God an integral part of their marriage. We got to laugh with my stupid little pictures. Excuse me, pictures of them doing crazy things. Anyway, those of you who were there remember. Together, we've been able to shower our love on another young couple, Danny and Brenna Tuckett, as they wed. We got to shower our love on some young mothers who've been having babies here recently. We went out like a bunch of crazy people into 100-plus degrees at Del Clark Lake last summer, and we did have a good time. And then we even stayed around and we prayed for all kinds of situations and people, and ask God's blessing over many things, bonding together in prayer. Not too long ago, we came together on a cold winter night in this room, and we spent some time on our knees at various prayer stations. And many of those same people walked through the streets of Madison the week before Ken Davis interceding for the human beings who live in this city, asking for a powerful move of God in the hearts and lives of these people. We had 50, I think, kids at Vacation Bible School last summer, our church kids and a ton of community kids, and we got to teach them about Jesus. Many of those children expressing a desire to follow God with their lives. Every Wednesday this past year, we've worked with many of those same kids, plus the older teenagers, seeking to show them what it's like to be loved in a godly way, teaching them the Bible, going on life-expanding trips like this one we've seen here that have helped them grow spiritually. It was last August that we all got bit by mosquitoes together at the camp at our all-church retreat and played crazy games and sang campfire songs. We worshiped God, we learned, we prayed, we got to baptize Olivia Nelson in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Had some fun, we've eaten some great food, living life to the full, right? Super Bowl party, table of eight, the women even had a pajama party, and the men have refused to ever do anything like that. We ate a Thanksgiving meal together. We invited whoever wanted to come to join us. We boxed Christmas meals together and gave them to families in need. We took our voices, whether or not they sing in tune, and we sought to bring the music of the celebration of Christ's birth out to those in the nursing home and in the hospital and others who we thought would enjoy hearing Christmas carols last December. We got to celebrate as one of our original members, Isabel Johnson, had her final earthly party here as she passed from this place into Jesus' arms. And we had the opportunity there to try to lift up Bob and Sherry and their family, and we need to continue lifting them up as they grieve her loss. We've provided food and resources for the Lac Parle food shelf. We've given to those who were hurting after a hurricane hit Haiti, trying to help them rebuild a bit. We got to help support the mission of Hope Pregnancy Center in Wilmer as they minister to young women who have found themselves in tough situations. We brought Meals on Wheels to people. We've helped people move. Our benevolence ministry has helped people through financial emergencies, through the buying of food or clothing or paying certain bills, even fixing a leaky roof. We've given gas money to those who have been down on their luck or paid a hotel bill for those who needed a place to stay while saying to them, God loves you. God be with you. We've moved chairs countless times to allow for the donation of life-saving blood here in this building through the Red Cross Bloodmobile. Every Sunday morning, kids are loved on in our super church and our Sunday school and our nursery programs. The Word of God is preached through the replay of our sermons at 8:15 every Sunday on KLQP Radio, which we know has a large footprint and a large listening base. My goodness, we've sought to learn the Bible together through our Bible studies and through Sunday school meetings and through our Sunday morning sermons, through the Truth Project last summer and fall. We've come together every week in this past year and we've offered worship to the Lord God. We've been there. We've been there for each other in the ups and downs of life through this past year. I don't even know how you would count that, things that could fall under that description. Meals have been brought to people going through stressful times or sickness. Visits have been made to people who needed a visit. We've celebrated with new people who have joined our fellowship recently, and we've sought to welcome them. Our dollars and our prayers have supported our missionaries and mission organizations who have used those resources to bring the good news of Jesus out to all parts of the globe. We've provided an opportunity for our entire town to come out and laugh and enjoy life this past March 31st. In the elementary school gym, and to hear the name of Jesus honored there as Lord. And then we capped it all off by worshiping God in a mighty way on Resurrection Sunday, on Easter Sunday, while also welcoming Alexis McDowell that morning into the family of God as she expressed her new life commitment to Jesus through baptism. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All of that. All of that happened in the last year. It's amazing. It's amazing. And you know what? It wasn't enough. It'll never be enough. I know we missed a bunch of stuff that we could have done. This is what I think about during the day, is the stuff I didn't get to. Okay? There's more we could have done, maybe even more we should have done, but we didn't, either because of lack of time resources or just because we didn't think of it like we should have, or simply because we're still flawed human beings. Sometimes we blow it, no doubt about it, but sometimes, Calvary, we don't blow it. Yeah, we're a bunch of flawed people here. Sometimes we grumble. Sometimes we get mad over things we shouldn't get mad about. Sometimes we say insensitive things to each other. Sometimes we miss things that we should have thought about doing. And we here, just like any other church body, we have a billion differing opinions about how things should be run. At times, church work gets discouraging. At times, I get discouraged, but I always come back to the fact that despite its flaws, the church, as I said before, the greatest single hope for the world, because it points people to Jesus Christ. We often get it right, and when we do, God's Spirit changes us and moves through us and overflows out of us into the lives of those we come into contact with. It's His goodness and His love, His grace, His life-changing truth moving out of this church and into the world. We here, this body seated here together, warts and all, we are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. There's not one single place I would rather be on a regular basis. There is not one single project out there I would rather spend my time and energy on than the project we have. Could be lack of sleep. 5 stressful weeks. Maybe God is good. All the time. So, I wonder if you'll come along with me into the future, Calvary. We'll continue to pray, to seek God's will for our church. Oh. Maybe you do want longer sermons. All right. Yes, we're gonna listen, we're gonna learn how to be more effective at what we do. We're gonna do all of these things, we're gonna do it together. We'll never do it perfectly, you know that. Every ounce, I'm having a hard time getting through it. Every ounce of effort, even though we don't do it perfectly, every ounce of effort we will put into this project will be worth it. Jesus told Peter about the church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. Right? Can I hear an amen to that?
Amen.
All right. That is my pastor's report to you this day of our annual meeting. There may be ups and downs. There are ups and downs, but there's nothing else I'd rather be doing than being church with you all.
Amen.
May God be with us in a mighty way in this coming year. May we see the fruit that we have prayed for and labored for. May God's kingdom come. Amen.
Amen.
You're up.
Amen.